This week on the Time Bat Show.
I found Snake Lover 69 on this app. I'm going to go over there and our snakes are going to do it, you know. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 115, I think. I'm your host, Time Aces.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And it is February the 12th, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
On this very day, we are 2 days away from the holiday of the year.
Love Valentine's Day.
Or as I like to call it, Love 2000 Hogs, yeah, Day. But I just want to call that out because I feel like a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, we talked about this thing on the show, how an AI was making those stupid candy hearts, like with stupid fake expressions on them, you know?
Yeah, those ones you get in school when you pass out your Valentine's.
Like, they say like, I love you, or like, well, they say dumber things like than that. It's more like, you are special, or like...
You're the best.
Yeah. We're giving really terrible examples.
I don't remember what those say. You're the best.
They said like really dumb stuff. Like, I can't think of any examples.
I don't think they said anything like "I love you."
No,
I think
you're
that's
right.
Too serious for.
It was like candy. It was like you're the best, or like you're the greatest with like an eight. You know.
Yeah.
You're great.
Yeah, they did.
Or like, see you tomorrow. You know.
Hope you're. Family's doing good.
Hope you're really long. Hope your family's doing good. But anyway, so like a neural thing, an AI made like fake ones. And I think it was either last year or the year before. We were talking about it on the show. And one of our favorite ones was it literally, like, it came up with fake ones like, you know, see you tomorrow and like have a great day and stuff. But it came up with really dumb ones, too, like Love 2000 Hogs, yeah, was a literal one that it said.
Love 2000 Hogs, yeah.
Which I propose is a good, like, alternate to Valentine's Day. I don't know what you think about that, but, like a name, you know what I mean?
Instead Love 2000 Hogs, yeah? Like, calling the day. Making a holiday called that?
Yeah, but, like, in place of Valentine's Day, like, in place of it, you know?
Yeah, I think that sounds way cooler, because I mean, don't know the history of Valentine's Day.
People
but...
can still celebrate Valentine's Day, but then you have this alternate holiday called Love 2000 Hogs Yeah Day. It's a little long to say, but they can celebrate. People that don't want to celebrate Valentine's Day can celebrate Love 2000 Hogs Yeah Day as much as they want.
Yeah, that's like the counterculture Valentine's Day. It's like Valentine's Day has become too corporate. You got all your Hallmarks and your... Hershey's.
Yeah, Hershey's. So, like, love your 2,000 hogs, you know?
Yeah.
You do that.
I love my 2,000 hogs.
You could like, rent a pig for the day and dress it up in, like, a nice date outfit. And then you could go out on a date with your hog. Oh, that sounds wrong.
You shouldn't do that, actually.
So how have you been doing today, that sucks?
I've been doing great. I actually have a news story pulled up for us that
I'm so ready.
You know, maybe this is sort of related to Love 2000 Hogs.
Mm-hmm.
The BBC reported today that there's a new Tinder app for cows.
Yeah, I think you linked it to me. So how does this work then? Like, do the farmers go on and like look at other cows and like
It's kind of weird. I think the way it works is, like, if you're a farmer, you sign up for, it's called Tudder, like, utter, like...
That's so dumb.
And you put a
Hold on. Why aren't we rich? Like, why haven't we made a dumb app that investors have invested into yet? Because this is really stupid, and it's obviously a thing.
It's called Tudder,
anyway,
and
go on.
You make a profile for your cow... And then you look at other cows and you swipe right if it looks like a good-looking cow.
So you're basically doing Tinder, just it's a picture of cows instead of people.
Yeah, and I think there are all kinds of weird, like, farm sex jokes all throughout the app. Like,
it's, like, made for farmers. They're like, yeah. Ha ha ha. Like, do you think you write a profile for your cow? Like,
I think you do.
This is Maggie. She's a very quiet young sow or whatever, and she's in heat right now.
She really likes Kingdom Hearts and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You put, like, pop culture in there.
Yeah.
And then another farmer's like, oh, she likes Kingdom Hearts. Oh, man, my cow likes Kingdom Hearts. And then it's more of a matching for farmers then at that point, when you put, like, interest the cow has. Because then the farmer's like, oh, this cow likes what I like.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, is this very subtly, like, a hookup app for farmers?
I think, like, it might be. You know what I mean? Because, like, you know, what more do you need on a cow other than a picture of it? And it's, like, specs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And by specs, I mean, like, height, weight, age.
What kind of cow it is.
What kind of cow it is. Like, you don't need a profile on a cow. You know what I mean? You don't need to be like, this is Maggie. She likes Kingdom Hearts, taking long walks, and laying in the rain. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need that for a cow. You just need, this is Maggie. She weighs 500 pounds. She's 2 years old, and she likes to have sex with other cows.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what they look like. Any cow was fine.
It doesn't matter. All that doesn't matter. So maybe it is like a hookup for farmers. Maybe what it is so like parents, they have play dates for their young children, like their toddlers.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like, if I want to, I need to get this cow impregnated, or I need to have my man cow impregnate the female cow, I might as well find a farmer that I like. So while they're doing that all day, the cows, like, I can hang out with this cool farmer that likes Kingdom Hearts and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's probably not weird if you're a farmer, but it's weird to me to have your animal go have sex with another man or woman's animal.
Yeah. And then you're there awkwardly, like,
Yeah, I think if you have, like, interests and kind of a similar sense of humor, that would make that a little, it would take the edge off a little bit.
Yeah, maybe that's who this app is for, and we just don't realize that, you know. We're all making fun of it, but really, farmers want to have a good day when they have their cow sex, you know.
Yeah, deals. They don't want to have to just think about cow sex all day.
Yeah, hopefully. And they don't want to have to, like, awkwardly chat with another farmer about, like, the weather for 2 hours while their cows are doing it.
You know. So our cows are, like, totally doing it right now. Yep.
How's the weather been over here? Has it been good? Did you see the big game on TV? How about them Yankees, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it'd be funny if before this app became a thing, like, farmers were like, oh, God, I wish I had an app for cows like this, but I don't have any web development skills or app development skills to make it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to use Tinder.
Oh, no.
And then, like, put a picture of your cow on Tinder. And then if enough farmers were out there to use Tinder as, like, a cow thing, you know, it would effectively become the new platform. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for that could become a little subculture inside of Tinder.
Yeah, like cow hookup. Or not hook up, but yeah, you know what I mean.
The problem with that is I think you would get people trying to hook up with your cow, too.
See, that's how you'd have to screen it out, right? It's like, if the other picture is a person that connects with your cow, you gotta be like, nope, that's not what I'm here for.
Nope, that's just a weirdo.
Like, it's like male interested in male, female, you know, like, both or whatever. It's like, cow interested in other cow.
Yeah. Not man interested in right, other cow.
Yeah. You can't put, they could add a new field in Tinder. You know, they could just roll this into Tinder. Like, gender, male human, female human, other human, gender, male cow. You know, they could just roll that into that part of Tinder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could cow.
I think you would just want to make it so that cows can only match with other cows, though, and people can't match with cows, because...
That's weird.
That just creates... I think that would just make it messy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's fair. I don't know.
Because I think when it comes to people, if you allow people to do something, they will do it, and if you let someone match people to their cow, they're gonna do it.
It's gonna get messy. That's like the perfect summary of human nature. Like, if you let someone do something, someone out there is going to do it. Like, it's gonna happen eventually. Anyway, Tutter, huh?
Tutter.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we should have. I don't know. We need to come up with our own stupid app idea and like get venture capital, and then once we get the money, we just like leave. You know, we just like.
Yeah, just bail.
We bail. This is probably a bad idea to talk about this on the episode, but no one's listening to this.
Yeah, and certainly not venture capitalists.
So we need maybe another kind of pet thing. I feel like pets are like an untapped market for apps, you know? You got a lot of people apps. You don't have a lot of pet apps or animal apps yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like your dog, you know, you want to find a dog friend for your dog. Yeah, like
dog playdate app. Is that... Yeah. Would that be fun?
I mean, that would be a thing. Yeah. Here's the thing that I was hinting on earlier. Children playdate app. Okay? So just think about this for a second. I know you don't like it, but just think about it for a second. Okay. Let's say I'm a parent. I have a toddler. I have a 2 or 3-year-old son or daughter. You know? And they're at the age where they're social and they want to, like, hang out with other kids and, like, you know, build trains or whatever the hell they do. You know? And you're looking for another toddler for your child to hang out with. Now, maybe they go to preschool and the other parents are very controlling and they don't want to, like, expose their children to outside influences or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you go on toddler-er, you know, toddler with an R, with no
God,
E.
God, this is not good. This isn't good.
Just hear me out. And then you go and you're like, oh, this toddler wants to be friends with my toddler. And then it lists like the interests of the other parent because you want to be able to talk and socialize with the other parent. The match is 50-50 here, right? The match is like toddler to toddler, but also parent to parent, because you want to have a relationship with the parents so it's not like boring when your kids are hanging out. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So there you go. That's my pitch.
It's not a good plan, dude.
Why not?
Why wouldn't you just get someone in your kid's class to hang out with?
I don't know. Maybe they're not a good fit with your toddler or you socially.
But there's probably 20 kids in your kid's class.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, maybe they're all bad apples.
Maybe.
Hey, but you know, I think the way that works is if 20 other people are bad in your opinion, chances are it might be actually you that's bad.
You're right.
The people on this toddler app will just be the people that couldn't find.
They're all terrible people.
They're all just the worst.
Well, shouldn't they have a place to go to?
Maybe.
It's toddler. So send money to us and we'll make this happen an app. Maybe we won't. I don't know. This is a bad idea. As I was saying, and I was like, this is not. Let's go back to dogs. I think dogs is a much better thing, right? You know.
Actually, I went to a reptile convention about a week ago, and this Tutter app I think would work for snakes. Because when I went to
Snakester.
That, yeah, snakester, snakester, or something.
Snakester. I like snakester.
When I went to this thing, there are snakes that are like $2,000.
That's a lot of snake.
The way you get a $2,000 snake, they're the same size as a regular snake. The thing that makes them special is you have to find like the perfect snake for them to have sex with and reproduce with.
Okay.
And then you get a nice snake, one with cool colors on it.
It's like breeding the cows in Sonic Adventure.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm breeding this snake with this snake. And then I got a cool design on the back of this snake.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
This one's got devil horns.
And a cool diamond on his back. It has a cool color. So they would trade out. They would be like, I have a snake of this quality, and you have a snake of this quality. Let's hook our snakes up.
Yeah.
Basically, right?
I think snakes are a lot less awkward than cows, too.
They probably just do it. Like, they probably just, like, no questions asked. Like, here we go. This is biology.
They're easily portable. You can just put a snake in a bag or something and take it over to the person's house.
Snake in a bag. Find snake owners in 10 miles of me that have this kind of snake. And there you go. So would it be a swipe left, swipe right kind of thing on Snakester?
Sure, yeah.
So you're just looking on Snakester and you're like, this looks okay. And it's pictures of the snake, I'm guessing, right?
There's pictures of the snake and maybe pictures of the owner, too.
Yeah, you don't want, like, a wackadoo owner.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of wackadoo snake owners.
Yeah, that's the thing that scares me about these apps. Like, you're not seeing the person that owns it. You're just seeing the animal. So that means the person that owns it could be, like, a crazy person. Like, have you ever gone on Craigslist and anyone that's selling stuff, like, you got the vibe that there's, like, a 90% chance they could be a crazy man or woman that, like, kills you or something, you know what I mean?
I bought my current computer chair off of Craigslist.
How did that go?
It's a really nice chair that I got for way less than I should have paid.
Did you get it from some guy?
Yeah, I got it from a guy.
Was he?
And it was really cool. Scary, actually.
Was it scary? Why was it scary?
Well, okay, so I went with one of my friends, and okay. She has a truck, so okay. I figured I need to put the computer chair in the truck, sure. So we brought her truck.
To the, anyway, is the man's house?
Yeah, we pulled up to the man's house, and he lives, like, in a weird place, and there's, like, 10 cars.
Did you already communicate him prior to this? Like, I'm coming over to get your thing, or to get the chair.
Yeah, yeah, I called him, and I was like, okay, sure, I'll see you, you know, 30 minutes, whatever. Yeah, yeah. We went over to his house, and he's got, like, 10 cars in his front yard that are, like, broken.
It's a lot of cars.
There's, like, washing machines in his driveway, and he has a lot of stuff.
This is a bad sign.
We walk up to his door, and he opens it, and there's nothing inside the house. It's just carpet.
It's empty? So he's got all his shit in his lawn, basically, in his yard? Yeah, it's a
totally empty house. And he had, like, drug marks all over his arms.
That's not good.
And I was like, here's your money. We're just going to go.
Bye! And then you put it in the car and left.
Put it in the car and left. See, really quickly.
That's the scary thing about these apps, I feel like. Because, like, you'd be like, oh, I found Snake Lover 69. Okay, that's a really bad name. But I found Snake Lover 69 on this app. I'm going to go over there and our snakes are going to do it. You know? But Snake Lover 69 turns out to be, like, a creepy, crazy, like, serial killer kind of dude. Mm-hmm. You know, with, like, one of those really pencil-thin mustaches and, like they're creepy. You know, they're weird. And you don't know about that on the app. You just know about the snake. So how do you, you know, how do you solve that problem?
I think that's why on this app it needs to be implied that you need to have kind of a personal profile for yourself, too. Mm-hmm.
So, like, any snake. So I click on your snake. It's called Morty or something.
Yeah.
And then it's like, there's a button that's like, view owner or whatever. And then you could see the owner. There's a picture. There's like, their like name. And then they have like an eBay thing where it's like, there's like 100% satisfaction from this owner or whatever.
Their snake is great.
Or they've had others. Like, I've done it with other snakes they own and it's been great. Like, that's been a great experience or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe something like that, and then Snakester might work.
Yeah, pictures of, like, their snake facilities, like the snake sex area. And
so you know you're not walking into, like, some weird house, like, it's, like, professional kind of environment. And
yeah.
You keep it safe, you know. That would be my one concern with Snakester. But I think if this cow thing is taking off, I think Snakester can take off.
You know? Yeah.
What we could do with Snakester to broaden it is to make it more it's like reptilian in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We still call it Snakester, but you could do like frogs, you could do lizards, you know.
Maybe any, you could even do those really big spiders.
Yeah, any exotic kind of pet, you know, you can do it on Snakester.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's a good idea, actually.
I think it's a good idea, too. I think people would use it. I think we could get some money for that. So if you're interested in venturing capital into this, contact at timebitsnow.com. We need, what do you think, $20 million, right, to get it off the ground?
I'll do it for $2 million.
Oh, all right, $2 million. You heard it here first. Do you want to do your first trivia?
Yes, I'm really excited about these trivia questions.
Questions for you today. They're really weird. So, your first category. Your categories today are history, military, and anatomy. Your first category is history. What do you want as your first lifeline?
Monty Hall.
Good call. Just to note, these trivia questions will start fairly standard and become more and more weird as they go on. So the first question is history in the category of history, and it is. The Hawaiian sesquicentennial half dollar, struck in 1928, shows which famous sea captain on the obverse side? Hawaiian sesquicentennial half dollar, struck in 1928, shows which famous sea captain on the obverse side? Is it A, Blackbeard, B, James Cook, C, Hexeter Mandrake, or D, Percival Montpelier III?
So, Cook, Blackbeard,
Mandrake, and Montpelier III.
Okay. Well, the pirates I've heard of are the first two.
It's not pirates, it's sea captains.
Oh, it's... They might as well be pirates.
I mean, okay.
Wait, Blackbeard was a pirate, though. He wasn't a sea captain. I mean, well, a pirate
is a captain. He's a captain.
Of a pirate ship.
Yeah, sure. James Cook wasn't a pirate, though. I don't know if Hexeter Mandrake was a pirate.
Or okay, Percival Montpelier. I think I've got some logic to work with, though.
Tell me.
I don't know, because Blackbeard, would they put him on a coin?
I don't know.
I thought he was bad. And what I'm basing this off of is just Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't actually know anything about the real Blackbeard.
So you're saying because he was bad, they wouldn't put him on the coin?
Yeah. He was a bad guy.
It's like putting Hitler on the German
I don't think it's
coin.
That bad, but...
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's putting a bad person on the... It's putting, like, Nixon on, like, our currency.
Yeah.
But, okay, Blackbeard could have discovered Hawaii to play devil's advocate here, you know?
I think if he discovered Hawaii, they would just say someone else did.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Like, you know how we say Christopher Columbus discovered America? He didn't, but...
We just say he did.
That was just the first guy that we felt comfortable with saying.
Okay. Anyway, so Blackbeard, James Cook, Hexeter Mandrake, or Percival Montpelier III.
Okay, I'm going to lock in Blackbeard with my Monty Hall.
I see what you're doing here. All right, the answer is either Blackbeard or James Cook.
Oh, no, I didn't think it was one of these.
Really?
Because they're like the two meme captains.
That's true.
I feel like they've done everything.
Who did you think it was?
Percival Mandrake sounds like a cool name.
Since you've eliminated them, I'll just tell you that I made the last two up.
Oh.
And it wasn't Percival Mandrake, it was Hexeter Mandrake and Percival Montpelier. Don't they sound captain-y, though?
They sound really captain-y and really cool.
If I was the Hawaiian president or whatever, president, dad damn it, the governor of Hawaii, I would invent Hexeter Mandrake and put him on the back of the half dollar.
All right, I think it's James Cook. So I'll go with that final answer.
James Cook is correct. That's right. Yay. James Cook apparently discovered Hawaii. So there you go. That's why he's on the back or the front or whatever. And then they have like a Hawaiian guy on that sounds really bad.
I don't want to say anything because I don't know what the Hawaiian guys are actually called. What it? They have a name. I don't know what it is.
Oh god damn it! Here's the bad part about it, though. I was looking this up, and it's like James Cook is on one side, and then the Hawaiian guy is on the other side. The Hawaiian guy that's on the other side is an unnamed Hawaiian guy. Like, there's not a specific Hawaiian guy. It just says Hawaiian guy, like, on the coin or whatever. Like, it doesn't say Hawaiian guy, but, like, his, like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Hawaiian chief or something. I don't know.
I don't really like that, actually.
I don't know what they're called. I feel like... I'm being ignorant right now, but I admit that I don't know.
Okay. No, I don't know what they're called.
The coin depicts Captain Cook and a Hawaiian chieftain. So that's what they call it on Wikipedia.
Couldn't they just get a famous
right?
Hawaiian guy?
Right?
How about that guy that sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow? I like him a lot.
I think that was a little after this happened, because this was 1928. But they could retroactively put the Over the Rainbow guy. Couldn't you know they do that, like? Oh, go ahead, Morgan.
You know that picture where he's in the pool and he's doing like the goat head hand signs.
Who are you talking about?
The guy that sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow. There's a famous picture of him where he's sitting in a pool and he's like, "Yeah, man," and he's got like the metal fingers.
Oh yeah.
That should be the picture.
Is he the really fat guy?
Yeah, he's really big. He's dead now.
He would be way cooler to put on the back of a coin than some random Hawaiian chieftain that nobody knows. Like, just random guy. I think they should remake it. Because they made it for 28, like 1928. So they can make it again in 2028, right? Because then it'll be the Tresquitennial or whatever. And then they do the same thing. James Cook on the front. Instead of the Hawaiian chieftain, they do the guy that sung Over the Rainbow. Like that, with that picture.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
I think that's better, too. The Hawaiian guy. I feel bad about that, but it's fine.
We do that a lot with currency, don't we? I feel like there are just generic Native Americans on a lot of things.
They do, yeah. I agree. Like, and it's no famous person, it's just like generic person. But there's plenty of famous... Native Americans, you know.
Yeah.
Like, Sacagawea. And, what's the bull guy's name? Sitting Bull, you know? And, that other guy. There's, like, a lot. I'm just not thinking of them off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, there are.
There's, like, you learn about a fair amount. There's at least 10, you know? And you could put them on quarters.
Yeah, like do you remember the Buffalo Nickel? Was that an actual Native person or?
I don't know.
We don't know what we're talking about right now, and it's really
you're
dangerous.
You're just sounding really bad right now. The Buffalo Nickel. I know what you're talking about. I'm looking it up right now. It doesn't look like it has any. It's just a random person.
Yeah, it's just generic Native
That's
person.
Stupid. Why did they do that? I mean, I guess it's fine. It's just, I don't know. It seems weird to just have a random person on
there. We wouldn't put just generic American dude on the
coin. It's just like putting a white guy on, like, every corner. It's like, here he is! He's, like, walking down the street. He's like, there he is! He's on the new half dollar!
What does he look like?
What? The white guy?
What does generic white guy look like?
Quarter? this would be a series, right? It'd be like the Americana series, I feel like. So it's like generic white guy doing a bunch of different things. Remember like years ago when they did all the state ones?
Yeah, the 50 state quarters.
It'd be like that, but with all the different things generic white guy does. So like one would be like grilling.
Yes.
Right? He's like grilling and drinking a beer. One would be like sitting on the couch with a remote.
Yeah. One is at a baseball game.
Yes. He's in the stands. One is he's eating his wife's apple pie. And she's like not in the picture. Her like arm is in the picture. Yeah. Like she's serving it or something, but you can't see her. And then one would be him doing his taxes, because why not? And then what other American things does someone do?
Maybe other than
walking, you know, he's in the park or something. Walking his dog.
Yeah, walking a dog is a good one.
you know.
It's an annoying dog, though. It's like a beagle or something.
Yeah.
Something you wouldn't really want to own.
And then, like, swimming, you know, he's at the beach, you know. Or he's on the beach, chilling. And then, you know, we find three other random ones, and there you go. You got, like, ten different quarters or whatever. Serious generic white guy.
The generic white guy quarters.
And you
could...
That would what?
That wouldn't do well.
Yeah, well, it doesn't have to do well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else he'd be doing. We have one where he's playing video games. What were
he'd
you
be
saying?
Using Tinder for cows.
Yeah, he'd be doing that, too. For sure. Let's see. What did we have else on the docket today? I feel like you had a few things.
There was a toilet incident on the International Space Station.
So, what does that mean, per se?
They were trying to install a new stall in their toilet area.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were attempting to change the stall, there was a plumbing accident, and 10 liters of water sprayed everywhere.
Oh, God. Was it, like, dirty water, if you know what I mean?
It didn't specify in the report.
Then it probably was. Yeah. If there's anywhere that would be worse... have a plumbing problem than in space, I don't know where it would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think space is even worse than, like, a submarine or something.
Well, a submarine, like, you'd at least vent that into the water, you know? Space, like, yeah, you could vent it into space, but, like, you have to, like, airlock all that shit first. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, there's nowhere for it to go. And it can't, like, evaporate into the atmosphere. Like, on Earth... you have a plumbing thing, it'll dry. The water will dry because the Earth, you know, the atmosphere. In space, it's just going to be like, oh, it's wet, you know? It's going back into our air conditioning system, you know? Right?
Yeah, it says they just cleaned it up with towels, but like...
I don't know if that would do. I don't know if I would be comfortable living on the space station after they cleaned it up with towels. Then what do? They put them in the washing machine and wash it?
It didn't say what they did with the towels, but okay. Yeah, that would scare me a lot if there was a toilet malfunction while I was on a space.
Let's say they get all this shit everywhere, right? And they're like, it's fine, we'll wash it. So they wash it in the space washing machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where does the water from the space washing machine go? Does that go out into the space? Do you think they have like a hookup or something?
Like a washer hookup that hooks up to
yeah,
an airlock that sprays it out into the...
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, otherwise, like, they're using a lot of water.
Yeah, and like, water is really heavy.
Yeah. I feel like they would reuse their water. Which, if they're reusing their water, great, you just washed your clothes that have shit on them in water that you're going to use again next week to wash your clothes. You know? Like, it's an endless cycle of shit at that point. Like, you're done. You're screwed. The space station is just shit infested all the time now.
And they're not going to come and get you for like 6 months.
No,
so
you're there. You're stuck there.
That's just your life now.
I wonder if when people get sick on the space station, that's like impossible to get better. Because you have nowhere to go. Like, you can't be like, oh, I'm not going to go to work. You have to, you infect all your coworkers on the space station because, like, it's so small. Like, it's going to happen, you know?
Yeah, I was listening to an interview with a woman that does, like, the HR part of the space station.
There's an HR person for space?
Well, there has to be, because they're in a small enclosure and dealing with other people constantly, all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And she said that a lot of thought goes into managing, like, how you structure your day to prevent people from, like, murdering each other.
See, that makes sense. I would be interested in the psychological kind of studies that have gone on for that stuff.
She said one thing they do is they allow people to just take, like, mental health days.
So they don't have to do any work.
Yeah, like, sure, it's still kind of awkward because they're just sitting there doing nothing while everyone else is working. And everybody can, like, look at them and be like, yeah, you're not working.
But they're okay with that because they've told them that they can take those days off. I wish real life was that way. More.
Yeah, me too.
I could use a mental health day every once in a while.
Yeah, same.
I mean, you can take them in real life, but you can't call it a mental health day. You had to be like, oh, I'm sick today, or I have a dentist appointment. You know, it's like a fake mental health day.
Oh, plumber's coming to my house today. Right, gotta exactly. stay home.
But in reality, you just want to sit, stay home and do nothing.
Yeah. You know, but you can't. But if you're in space, you can't just be like, well, I got a dentist appointment.
See, that's why they do it. That's why they allow them, because there's no other excuse. Like, on Earth, you that is amazing.
Like, you're not going to the dentist. You're just watching Buffy on your iPad. Like,
like on Earth, you could be like, oh, I really don't want to go in. Oh, I'm sick. I'm, you know, I'm going to the dentist or whatever. In space, you can't be like, I'm going to the dentist. They're like, no, you're not. There's no dentist up here. We know you're not doing that. That's bullshit. That would be hard, man. You wouldn't be able to lie very much at all on the space station. Because, like, think about it. Like, think about this horrible scenario, okay? You are on the space station, and there's, like, 8 others. Maybe 7 others, right?
Yeah.
And you like half of them, you know, like friends. And the other half aren't bad. They're just like, they're fine. You know, they don't get on my nerves too much. Maybe there's one guy that you really don't like, but you keep away from him. Whatever, you know. One of the guys that you're friends with, maybe they do like a poker night or something like that with like a few other people. And you go to that and it's fun, whatever. And then another guy that you're like not friends with, but you don't hate, but you don't really like, invites you to do something on like Friday night. Right? Like, what are you going to do? Like, there's nothing you can do in that situation. You can't be like, no, I got other plans. Like, what plans? We're on the space station.
I got to go have dinner with my parents.
Yeah, like, I'm helping a guy move. Like, you have no excuse to do this. Like, how terrible would that be? Like, what do you do in that scenario?
Yeah, like those are some of the only things I lie about in everyday life, but I do. I lie about stuff like that. And
me too. And I think everyone does, you know.
When you're on a space station, I guess you just have to deal with the fact that, you know, we're all people. Mm-hmm. And
I don't
feel like seeing everybody all the time.
I don't think you could lie that much on a space station because they would know. It's like, "Oh, why were you late to the meeting?" It's like, "Oh, my car broke down coming in." It's like, "You don't have a car up here." Like, you can't make any excuses anymore. I feel like you just have to put up and be like, okay, if someone wants to do something with me, I have to, like, either just do it, or I have to, like, be completely honest and be like, I don't want to do that with you. Which is bad, because you're on the space station with this other person for, like, a year, and, like, you don't want them to be mad at you, you know?
Yeah, someone has kind of, like, if they've asked you to do poker night on the moon, that's even more of a like a commitment for them than asking someone in regular life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like yeah, the person that doesn't want to go to poker night, uh-huh. it's hard for them because, you know, they can't say no, there's no excuses. But the person that's actually doing the asking, that strains them too.
Yeah, it does.
Because it's like, oh no, now this person doesn't like me.
Right. It's like, did I do something wrong? And then you have this weird relationship with like both sides. It's like, hardly we even friends anymore, but you have to see them every day for like a year, like all the time.
Pretend,
you
know? Like it's okay.
It's weird, man. I would like to see some kind of TV show explore this kind of relationships, you know, that develop on the space station. Because I feel it'd be very interesting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, are they allowed to like drink and have kind of like things
know.
That let you unwind on the space station?
I think so, maybe. I don't really know. But, like, that's the weird thing. Like, in real life, like, you can say, like, oh, you know, maybe you hang out with... Or maybe you're around a lot of people at work all the time. Your coworkers. You're there every day. But at the end of the day, you can go home and not see them. You know what I mean? Like, you can leave and just be like, I'm out. You know what I mean? And even, like, friends you have in real life on Earth, you can hang out with them as much or as little as you want. And at any time, you can be like, I gotta go. Bye. Space station? Impossible to do that. You know? You cannot say goodbye to someone. Like, you can't be like, I don't want to do this today. I'm out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like I wanted to be on the space station for a long time, but now I feel like I would not be able to exist there.
Yeah, I mean, I would still like to do it, but I don't think I have the right kind of personality to be in that environment.
I need me time, like, a lot.
Yeah, I need me time, and I feel like my need for me time would bring other people down in a space station environment.
And I think they'd like think I'm being mean to them, or I'm like, I like don't like them or whatever.
Yeah.
But in reality, I just need to like chill off. This is a decent topic because like I think a lot of people think I'm like cold and distant sometimes. And in reality, it's just because like I can only go so far with social interaction. Then I'm just like, I'm done. I can't. Like, I'm gone. I check out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, if you're on a space station, they would notice you checked out and be like, well, he doesn't like any of us anymore. And then you have to live with them for another year after that. So it's like, you have to be clear that like, this is my personality. And even then, they probably wouldn't believe it. So, yeah.
So yes, space station, taking sick days on the space station. I love thinking about that. That's a cool topic.
Yeah, I feel like I want like some kind of show to explore this. Like it would be a comedy, but like a drama at the same time. You know, be interesting to see what people did. It's like they're roommates, but they can't leave. You know, like they can never go away. You know,
I'd like to see a reality TV version of this.
Oh like, my god, this is a good idea.
This is made for reality.
You know, TV. America would never do it, but Russia is prime candidate for a space station reality TV show, right? Right? Yeah. No, I'm serious. Russia would do it. Like, and they're not doing so hot right now, but they have still have like four cosmonauts on the ISS.
Yeah.
You know, throw a cameraman up there and be like, here you go. You know, it's like Cosmo, the real cosmonaut or something, you know. And it's just them arguing and drinking vodka and playing poker or whatever the Russians do on a space station. I'm assuming it's a lot of that.
What was that movie? Is it Armageddon with the Russian space station guy? And he talks like the Russian space station.
Yeah. He's like one guy and he's like kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But he's really funny. Yeah.
He's my favorite character in that movie.
I think he's everyone's favorite character in Armageddon. Do you want to do second? This is kind of a good segue. Second trivia question is, it's not really a good segue, but it's the category is military, which is kind of adjacent to space, sort of.
I will choose 50-50 for my lifeline on this one.
All right, military. Sorry, something in my throat. I'm just preparing you for the question. All right. Are you familiar with the bazooka?
Yes.
Those are very strange.
Sorry, yes. Sorry, yes.
You're like, yes, I am aware of bazooka. You know, big missile launcher thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the name bazooka, where did that name come from? Do you have any idea before I read the answers off?
No? I have no idea. It's a cool word, though.
The name bazooka came from what? And these are complicated. It was invented by a man named Bob Zooka.
Yes.
It was named after an African snake it resembled called the Baba Zooka. It was named after a radio comedian's invented musical instrument that he named the bazooka. Or it was named after one of the people testing it who exclaimed bazooka the first time they fired it.
What is that story about the guy that says Eureka? Isn't there a story
Archimedes,
where someone does that?
Yeah, Archimedes says Eureka. Which I don't know if was a word before he said it. So that would be fun. Like, he just invented the word because he was so excited. Eureka!
I don't think it's that last one. I think you were inspired by Archimedes.
You don't think someone shot it as a test fire and was like, bazooka! And they were like, that's a good name.
Bazooka. I don't know. It kind of sounds like a surprise kind of thing.
Like, bazooka! That's loud. It's got the right amount of syllables for, like, an exclamation.
Bazooka, Batman? Wow.
Like, bazooka! That was awesome! Right?
Yeah. It was definitely like Robin testing the bazooka that day.
It sounds like something Robin would say. Bazooka, Batman, that was cool. That was what an explosion, Batman. Bazooka.
Right. It's the African snake that it resembles.
So it was invented by Bob Zooka.
Okay.
It was named after an African snake it resembled named the Bobazooka. It was named after a radio comedian's invented musical instrument it resembled named the bazooka. or it was one of the people testing it explained bazooka the first time they tried it.
I think it's B or C. I think it's either the African snake or a radio comedian's invention.
Okay.
So but I'm going to use my 50-50 to narrow it down.
You should have told me that.
I know.
It's either named after the African snake or the radio comedian's invention.
Okay. At least I'm kind of warm. Like,
that's true. You were on the right track. You didn't think it was invented by Bob Zucca?
No, I didn't think it was invented by Bob Zucca.
I was really hoping that that was it, because I was reading the article on Wikipedia. Well, I'll tell you after, because I don't want to
spoil it. Okay. All right. The Boba Zucca? That's a cool name. For, if that isn't real, it should be.
You mean the snake? Yeah.
Yeah. Boba Zucca? That's Boba a cool Zucca. Name. Yeah. Or...
Radio comedian.
Radio comedian's invention.
A musical instrument.
That sounds like an instrument, too, because like it would be really a loud
tune.
Bazooka! Like, but it goes... Maybe it's like a didgeridoo. You put your mouth on it and you do like zoo sounds.
It zookas. Yeah. It goes bazooka.
Yeah. I could see either one of these pretty easily.
Yeah.
All right. I think I'm going to go with... the African snake one, because I really like the name Boba Zucca. That sounds too cool to be fake.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is incorrect. It was the radio comedian.
Dang.
But I will say, Boba Zucca, I just made that up.
That sounds really cool.
There should be a snake in Africa called the Boba Zucca. If you're a snakeologist and you invented Snakester, please call your next... find the Boba Zucca snake, because that'd be cool. Would it be like a reticulated snake, or like a poisonous one, or a venomous one, or what do we think?
I think it's just a big non-poisonous snake,
like a big python kind of thing.
Yeah, big python. Maybe it like strangles stuff like a python does.
It has like a really big mouth.
Yeah, like, and I think you know how snakes sometimes have like a ghost face on their back.
Yeah,
it has like a back. I think it has that kind of design on it because it sounds kind of like Baba Yaga, which
Yeah. And it eats babies.
Yes, it eats babies. The Boba Zucca took my family.
My child was taken by the Boba Zucca. That sounds so scary. It's like Shere Khan. But back to the Bob Zucca thing. So I was looking at the article on Wikipedia, and it said, like, it was invented by a man named Bob something, and then it said something about bazooka. And so I read that as Bob Zucca, and I was, like, really excited for a second. Like, yes, his name is Bob Zucca! And then I realized it wasn't. And then I had to make that part of the question.
Yeah.
Because it's so bad.
Gosh, that would, if my name was Bob Zucca, that would be my mission in life, is to just make a violent weapon.
he sounds like a used car salesman.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Bob Zucca. Head on down to Bob Zucca's used Audis. Kias. Bob Zucca Kia of Jacksonville. Or something like that. Anyway, you're 2 for 2 with trivia now. I'm proud of you.
Oh, I got that one wrong. I thought it was a snake.
Oh, you're right. You got it wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry.
One for two.
I was so excited about Bob Zucca and the Boba Zucca, which I think is a cool name. But what do you do? Do we have any Reddits today?
We do.
Unless you have any other news stories you want to share.
There were a couple others, but let's do a Reddit intermission.
All right.
This was asked by Duke Maximum. Thanks, Duke Maximum. He wants to know, what are movies you loved as a kid and still love as an adult?
I thought it was going to be like, you hate now or something. What do you
think? I think it's basically all of them for me.
Yeah, me too. Like, I don't hate any movies I loved as a kid, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think I do.
There are movies I like less, but I'm not like, oh, I hate that now or anything like that.
Yeah, like, oh, young me, when I used to watch that movie I loved, was stupid. Yeah. No, I don't...
Like, I was a kid, I liked Star Wars, I loved Indiana Jones, still love those, I loved Jurassic Park, I loved...
Yeah, I loved, the classic animated movies, Don Bluth.
Like... Sure, yeah, Fields Goes West and all that shit. Still love them. Didn't change, I don't think.
Yeah. It's weird because I don't... it's not that way with music. There's music that I loved as a kid that I absolutely hate now.
That is true. I will say that, yes. That is definitely true. I will say, though, when I was a kid, like when I was 12, like my favorite musician was Weird Al, like far and away.
Yeah.
And he's not my favorite anymore, but like I still love Weird Al, like a lot. Yeah.
Like, so, do I listen to Weird Al when I'm driving in the car on the way to work? Not really.
But if it came up, you'd be like, all right, Weird Al, you know, here we go. But that's the exception, I think, because mm-hmm. everything else that I listened to when I was 12 that I love, quote unquote, do not love that anymore.
Those names, what's something you listen to when you're 12 that you're embarrassed by now?
I don't want to admit that. You go
first.
I
bet you I can out-embarrass you.
You go first, then.
Sum 41.
Yeah, Sum 41. That's a good one. they were bad. Linkin Park. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember Linkin Park.
Oh yeah. Man, there was a lot of like fake hardcore bands back then. Remember, they were like trying to be really edgy and cool, like, you know, early 2000s kind of thing. You know, they were like, we're all rough and edgy and cool, and we play loud music, and we're not very good. You know, like Sum 41 and Disturbed. Oh, there's a good example. Remember Disturbed?
I don't think I was allowed to listen to them.
Me neither, but I knew about them. Yeah.
That's weird how when you're a kid, you can, like, love this music a lot, but movies, it seems like, for me,
at least. It is weird. No, I agree. I think maybe it's something to do with nostalgia, you know, like, the way you process that. Because movies are more visual, and maybe nostalgia is more tied to, like, visual things than music is.
Yeah, it seems to be for me.
Like, to be fair, there's music that I liked when I was 12 that I still like today. But it's nowhere near as many. Like, it's like movies, it's like everything I liked when I was 12 I like now. With music, yeah. It seems more of like a 50-50 kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I liked that then, but I don't like that now. You know?
Yeah, like, when I was a kid, my mom used to have, like, a Phantom of the Opera record, and it was, mm-hmm. like, one of the first things I ever listened to, and I still, like, love still musicals love to this day.
Yeah. But yeah, some of the
stuff like Sum 41, and I don't know. I used to listen to a lot of Dance Dance Revolution music, listening to it.
Do you remember that like little slice of history in America? Like, it was like a couple years. It wasn't that long. It felt like it was forever.
Yeah,
but it wasn't that long. Where like Dance Dance Revolution was like the thing, and not only was it the thing, like listening to the music was also the thing to do.
Yeah.
And you were, like, deep into that shit.
Yeah, I was deep, deep in that culture.
Deep into that. And I had a friend in high school that was also deep into that. I was like, what am I, like, and I was like, I wasn't into it, and I was like, why am I making friends with people that really like Dance Revolution? Like, what is wrong with me?
Like, you would play it with me, and you were good at it.
No, I wasn't.
But, like, I was obsessed with
you were really good at it.
Yeah.
That was the first thing you got really, really, really good at, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Because you have kind of, I wouldn't call it an obsessive personality, but like when you find something you like, you do try to get really, really good at it.
Yeah.
And I think that was the first thing you got really, really good at. And I remember when I was, you know, you were doing that, and I was like, oh, this is fun, but I wasn't as into it as you. I was like, jealousy is the wrong word, because I wasn't really jealous of you being better at Dance Dance Revolution than me, because I didn't really care about being good at Dance Dance Revolution. I think I was jealous of the fact that, like, you were really, really good at something, and I didn't have an equal thing that I was really, really good at, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
in like a dumb kind of youth way, like stuff that just doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, like it doesn't matter at all. Like, I didn't care about being good at Dance Dance Revolution, but I was just like, wow, he's really good at DDR. Like, I want to be really good at something too, but I don't think that's it. This is a good topic. So you were really good at DDR when you were like 13.
Mm-hmm.
What other things over the course of your life can you say like, oh, I got really good at doing this?
It might just be DDR.
Because my list is extremely short / non-existent. And I wanted to know if you had another thing.
No, I don't think I have anything else.
What about a thing that you thought you were really good at, but you realize later, you're like, okay, I wasn't actually that great at that.
There are some shoot 'em ups. It's all like video game stuff.
Yeah, so like we were like we played a lot of video games, and there were some that like you were really good at, and I was not bad at, but I was not as good as you. And I thought that you were really good at them, and you probably did too, because I was the only really point of comparison you had.
Yeah.
But like looking back, you probably weren't like really, really good at it. Yeah. You were just, you know, regularly good at it or whatever.
I think you're like throughout the course of history, much better than me at most video games. Like,
I don't think that's
true, because I mean, if you think about games that we played, like Metal Gear Solid, Resident Evil, like all those kind of RPGs and stuff, it was mostly you playing all those games, and I was not good at them, so I would just kind of like watch and like try to cut in sometimes.
Throughout the course of my life growing up, being your friend as like 12-year-old, 13-year-old, whatever, I always thought you were better at video games than me, and then throughout our entire friendship. Like, to this day, I still think you're better at video games than me.
I don't know if that's true.
It's probably just 12-year-old me's brain, like, in my current, you know what I mean? Like, it's just using that. It's just seeing you play, like, Ikaruga one time and be like, wow, he's way better at video games than me. But I still believe that to this day, like,
I don't think it's true. Like, think about all the games that, like, I would just watch you play because I just couldn't do it. Like, Metroid Prime, I couldn't do it. Like,
maybe. I don't know.
I watched you beat that whole game.
At video games with me. That's so weird that you thought I was... Like, I was like, well, I'm not... Like, I'm crap compared to you at video games. Like, I've thought that my entire life.
Yeah. I was good at, like, two.
Even, well, the ones you're good at, you're really good at, though. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe I just assume that, like, oh, he's that good at every video game.
You're right, though. I do have that kind of personality where it's just, like, I can't do only a little of something.
Yeah. Like, Binding of Isaac, you're really good at that.
Yeah, I've also played, like, 4,000 hours of it.
So maybe that's what it is. But, I mean, that's a form of being good at something, just practicing a lot, you know?
Yeah.
It's just interesting how perceptions of how better people are of you really depend on how you are at that moment when you establish the perception.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, back then, I was like, oh, you're the best at video games ever, you know? And, like, even a little today, I feel that way. Like, I know there are people that are better at Super Smash Bros. Melee than you and better at StarCraft than you. But when I was a kid, I was like, you're better. Bastax is better than everyone in the world at this video. You know what I mean? Like... And, like, that's what I based my perception on. And so, like, in the future, like, when I play video games and see someone else play a video game better than me, I'm like, oh, they're pretty good. They're not as good as Bad Stacks.
Thank you. That makes me feel so good.
I mean, it might be a lie, but, like, it's perception. And it's just funny how that works. Like, it's really interesting. But, yeah. Smash Brothers, StarCraft... All those shoot 'em ups and Dance Dance Revolution. Those are your, like, things that I remember you being really fucking good at. Yeah.
But that's just because I played them a lot.
I know. I can't name a thing in my life where I'm like, Chris, what are you really good at? I'm like, let me think. I don't know. I have nothing. I have no answer to that question. I don't think I've ever gotten to the point with anything where I can say... I'm really, really, really good at this thing. You know,
I've heard you play bass. You're really good at that.
I'm not really good though. Maybe this is a comparative thing though, right? Like,
I mean, you're one of the only people I've heard play bass though. So,
see,
like,
there you go. So
maybe,
like,
I'm just like, wow, he's really good.
It's the Smash Brothers effect. It's like, wow, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, like,
really?
Was I really good at Smash Brothers? No, I wasn't. But you just didn't know.
It's funny. Oh, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
We were at Desert Days, and like, you pulled out this guy's bass guitar. It was out of tune. It was totally out of tune.
It was out of tune.
You tuned it by ear, and then you just started jamming away on it.
Well, it's just not that hard.
And I was like really high at the time, so I was like, whoa, holy shit. I didn't even know you could tune an instrument with your ear. I thought you needed a device for that.
I'm bad at tuning instruments, but I will say that I think for some reason when I was under the influence, I was like, I know how to do this now. Like,
I got this, yeah.
I unlocked it. But yeah, I mean, it is a perception thing, right? Because you think I'm good at something, just, you don't really know any better. And I think you're good at something because I don't really know any better. So it's just weird how that works. Maybe I think I'm bad at things because I'm always comparing myself to someone that's better than me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe that's my issue. It's like I'm not confident enough.
Maybe you should compare yourself to how, you know, other people that are that like you, mm-hmm. you know, think of you.
Yeah, that's
like, think
fair.
Of it that way.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. Luca, this is an interesting conversation. Because it's like, it is really all perception, you know, at the end of the
day. Yeah.
It's how you perceive it. Anyway. Do you want your final trivia question? Are you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. Your last trivia question is anatomy. It's about the human body. You're 1-for-2 currently. What lifeline would you like?
I'm going to use 5-second Google on this one because I don't know about anatomy.
Okay. What is the strongest muscle in the human body? Is it A, the masseter? B, the gluteus maximus? C, the trapezius? Or D, the soleus deuteronomy?
Okay. Deuteronomy is a book in the Bible, so it's not that one.
How do you know? You don't know.
Maybe that's what they named the Bible thing after. Right?
Exactly. Ha-ha! I got you now. Now you don't know if it is soleus deuteronomy or not.
All right, it's the gluteus maximus. That's, of course, the one my brain...
Masseter, gluteus maximus, trapezius, or soleus deuteronomy.
I feel like I've heard this question in another form before, but it's usually like, is it your tongue, your arm, yeah. your butt? Like,
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you're
saying. I think it's the tongue, but I don't know what. Yeah.
Did you just make a tongue thing when you were like, tongue? It's the tongue.
Yeah, maybe.
You think it's the tongue, but you don't know which of these muscles
is the tongue.
With the tongue. Well, you probably know the gluteus maximus.
Yes, that's your ass muscles.
The butt. So that's not your tongue muscle. I don't. No. I mean, at least I don't think it is. Maybe it extends all the way up to your tongue.
Maybe I can get this without the Google thing. What are the other two, other than
masseter, gluteus maximus, trapezius, or soleus deuteronomy?
So trapezius and masseter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, masseter. I can't draw any more logic out of this. Trapezius, like when you're on a trapeze, you use your wrists, right?
When you're on a trapeze, you use your trapezius muscles. Maybe that was why they named the trapeze. They're like, well, you use your trapezius muscles, so we're naming it trapeze. Similarly, the Bible book Deuteronomy, someone used their soleus deuteronomy muscle
and to write
named,
that.
And they named it Deuteronomy. Yes.
Didn't you know that Deuteronomy was written by a prisoner in Crete who had his arms cut off because he was, you know, a man of the cloth? So he had to use his soleus trapezius to write that
soleus
book.
Soleus deuteronomy.
Yeah, his soleus
which
deuteronomy.
Which is like his ass cheeks or something like that. Yes. So, masseter, gluteus maximus, trapezius, just soleus deuteronomy.
I'm going to use Google, but I think it's the masseter.
Okay. Timer. Are you ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1, Google.
Oh, no. How do you spell masseter?
How did you spell it?
M-A-S-O-T-E-R.
That's too late. You have your time's up. But did you get any Google out of that?
Nope. I don't think that's how you spell it.
How did you spell it?
M-A-S-O-T-E-R.
M-A-S-E-T-E-R is the correct spelling.
Okay.
But too late now. Should have asked before you Googled. Do you want another Google? I can give you another go. I can give you 2.5-second Google if you want.
No, it's okay. That's against the rules.
Okay.
I'm going to guess masseter. And that'll be my final answer.
Masseter is correct. Way to logic through that one. I'm kind of sad you didn't pick soleus deuteronomy, but at the same time, I understand why you didn't do it. I really shouldn't have put Deuteronomy in there. I should have just put Soleus, because that's a real muscle.
Isn't it?
Yes, and I added Deuteronomy because I was like, I need something that's a little snappier than just Soleus. Because I wanted it to kind of pop out, you know what I mean?
Also, there was like a balance in the answers where you have masseter, then gluteus maximus. That's like a double word.
Exactly.
Then you have trapezius, that's the single.
Yeah.
So you need two doubles and two singles.
Exactly, and Soleus Deuteronomy had a nice zing to it. It sounds like a muscle. Like, if I didn't know what Deuteronomy was, I could believe that's a muscle.
Yeah, it sounds like a muscle.
Also, a good band name. Do we want to get into... Do we have any other Reddits we got for today, or...
We have more Reddits.
News, or whatever you want to talk about. You got all the things today, I feel like, so you should just pick something, and then we'll go with it.
This was posted by Welcome to Duloc.
Thank you, Welcome to Duloc.
What does it take for you to enter a stranger's white van?
Oh, my God. I would never enter a stranger's white van.
You wouldn't?
Would you?
What if they just said, hey, let's be friends?
Yeah, that sounds great. I found you on Snakester. Let's hang out in my van.
Oh, come on. If you were at a music festival and a stranger in a white van was like, hey, you want to hang out in my white van? You wouldn't say yes?
How many people are nearby?
Like,
is this in an abandoned parking lot, or is this, like, on the grounds with other people in your shop?
This is on the grounds. There's
other people are around.
Yeah.
Okay, I would go in that situation.
Yeah, I'd go.
But if it was like no one else is around, no, I'm not getting in a stranger's white van.
Yeah. What if it was at a park?
Paint me the scenario.
So you go to the park to feed the ducks for some reason. You're being really introspective right now. You just need to think about
really
life.
Really quick sidebar. Have you ever gone out to feed the ducks after being introspective? Me neither. But I've seen it in like every movie. All right, we're back. I'm sorry.
Anyway, you decide to do that for whatever reason, and there's a guy in a white van, and he's like, hey, you want to come be my friend?
In my van. Uh-huh. And there's no one nearby?
Nope.
I would not go into that van.
Yeah, neither would I.
So, I think the key is you'd have to be in public, people nearby, and although you're really not selling the van very much, you know, with the music festival thing, like you're at a thing and there's all these other people and this guy's literally just saying, hey, you want to come hang out in my van? Like, he's not offering anything to you. He's not like, I've got beer in here or anything. You know, he's just like, my van. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, he would probably have to say, do you want to come have a beer
with
me in my van?
And then maybe. Yeah. Because then, like, why am I getting in this guy's van otherwise?
You know, yeah. Like, we can be friends here. We don't need to go to your van.
We don't need to go into your van. Yeah, like, why are we getting in the van? Like, why can't we just chill outside the van?
Yeah, it's better out here.
Yeah. So, I think I'm going to change my answer. Like, I'm not going to go in a man's van. Like, I just have to be like, we can chill out here outside of your van. And they'd be like, no. We really
it has to be in the
in
van.
The van. And then I'd be like, well, this is fun. I'm gonna call it now, you know.
Yeah. Alright, this was asked by Hook Dragger.
Thank you, Hook Dragger.
Disney theme park characters. This goes along with what we were talking about last week. He asks, what's the weirdest / kinkiest thing you've ever pulled off in character? Why do people like this?
We're not Disney characters. People are like this because they're obsessed with sex. And we talked about this last week, and you're right. You can draw a direct line to the topic from last week to this. People want to know what Goofy's kinky sex life is like in real life.
They do.
And I don't know why they want to know that, and I don't want to know that, but people do want to know that. Were there any replies to this thread?
I didn't look.
Oh my God. Well, I'm glad you didn't. I mean, kind, part of me wanted you to look, but part of me didn't.
Yeah,
because it'd probably be a creepy thing.
Yeah, I just saw the question, and I was thinking, like, why do you want to know this? Like,
I feel like the top answer is going to be like, yeah, I was Donald Duck, and me and Minnie went in the back of the break room. You know, one time. And it's like, okay, I don't need to hear this story right now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hear people's random sex stories, period. Much less random sex stories when they're in costume of Disney
characters. At an amusement park. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear that normally. I definitely don't want to hear that when they're working in an amusement park in costume. So, I don't know what this person was thinking, but sort your shit out and, you know, figure out your life. I still think we should do that competition where we get different Twitter accounts and we post, like, really NSFW things and see who gets more followers in a week or whatever.
I'd be interested in doing that. I just wish there was something that...
What?
Like, because it still feels weird to me. I just wish there were... It could benefit charity somehow or something. Like, there needs to be another angle because...
Benefit charity? You want to post, like, lewd... photos on Facebook and that somehow benefits a charity.
Yeah, because if I'm just retweeting like lewd photos, that doesn't feel good to me.
All right, how about this? So you do it, both of us do it. We have a link, a profile pinned thing that's like linked to a charity. So it's like, oh, what's so funny?
Click here to donate to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Anyway, here's your sexy pictures.
Here's Minnie in a bikini, and then click to donate to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. That does seem wrong, though. But whatever, you know, whatever gives them donations, I guess. You know, people will be weird. Maybe you can set up like a Patreon kind of thing.
All proceeds go to charity.
Yeah. And then you have like tiers where like, if I get $5,000 this month, I'll post a really good one. I'll post some real dirty stuff. Your wildest dreams will come true. Or like you call it like the secret stash, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, if you give me $5,000, I'll open up
the secret stash
and start posting the really good stuff. You know?
I mean, maybe that would work.
I don't think people are that stupid. But... they probably are, so.
Yeah, I would feel better about it that way, though, because, like, the only problem with that contest is that in order for us to have that contest, we have to promote people we don't like. It's like it's a competition to see who can, like, do the worst in the same,
the worst
in
person.
A weird way.
Yeah. How would you even start that competition, though? Like, I'm not going to use my main account to, like, promote this fake account that I made.
No.
You would have to basically follow a bunch of like-minded people and then just start tweeting and they'll hopefully follow back and retweet you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And use hashtags a lot. Like boobs or whatever.
Hashtag love 2000 hogs, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, God. Do we have any would you rathers today?
Yeah, I did get one.
Let's go.
Would you rather get a cat dinosaur or a demigod?
That's tough. So would a cat dinosaur be a dinosaur, but they would look like but they would act like a cat? That's the way I'm kind of perceiving this.
Yeah. I think the size is the size of a dinosaur.
Oh, but it acts like a cat.
Mm-hmm.
That would be rough, I feel like, you know?
A demigod, though...
would be cool, question mark? Would it be cool?
Yeah, I think at least with the cat one, you have an idea of what its behavior would be like. I think a demigod, it can act in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, it could be mean to you. It could kill you whenever it wanted to. You know?
Doesn't this kind of sound like an anime?
It does. The cat and the demigod. The dinosaur cat and the demigod, or whatever.
Yeah, like in the very first episode, Would You Rather God comes up to the high school boy, and he's like, you can either have a cat dinosaur, or you can have a demigod.
He's like, I don't know. And then he doesn't pick fast enough, so he gets both.
Yes. And the cat dinosaur and the demigod hate each other.
Yeah, they fight all the time. And the demigod's always trying to kill the cat dinosaur, but the cat dinosaur's giant. It's like a brontosaurus or something.
Yeah, he, like, sits on him.
And the demigod's like Loki, you know? It's like that kind of thing. You know, he's like a trickster thing or whatever.
Yeah, I was thinking about, what's that guy from Death Note? The guy that looks really weird?
I don't know. The demon thing?
Yeah, the demon man who makes the Death Note.
Death Note man, I don't know.
Death Note man.
It'd be like that. That's the demigod.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that makes sense. That's a good show idea. It really is. Yeah. I don't know.
Do you want to do... I saved a couple news stories for last, if you want to touch on this
one. Sure, let's go.
So last week we were talking about voodoo, hoodoo stuff.
Yeah.
And it's been in the news recently that Tom Brady's wife likes to make him do hoodoo stuff.
Oh, God. Tom Brady, the football player.
Tom Brady, the football player.
Who just won the Super Bowl or something.
I didn't pay attention. Like the sixth time or something.
Yeah. So his wife makes him do voodoo stuff?
Yeah, like hoodoo stuff.
Did you read this news story? Do you know what happened? What happens?
He does like crystals and mantras and different stuff.
Maybe that's why he's so good. Maybe it's working.
Do you know what I think?
Tell me.
He said in the news story that he's just learned to do whatever his wife asks because it seems to work.
What? What do you mean?
Like when his wife tells him to like wear a rock or like say a weird thing, he just does it because it seems to make him successful.
Okay.
Do you know what I think?
What?
I think this is his wife's way of coping with his success. She wants to kind of feel ownership.
Oh, she's taking some credit for it.
Yeah.
Because she knows he's going to win anyway. Like, well, he's probably going to win again. But I can give him a crystal to win before the big game. He'll wear it. And then I'll be like, look, babe, the crystal made it happen. And then he's like,
I did it.
Yeah. So you can take credit. Oh, you're totally right. That's what it is. Because otherwise, she's just Tom Brady's wife, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think Tom Brady's really stupid, so...
Now, do you think he's stupid, or do you think he's just going along for the ride? It's like, yeah, it really helped me. those crystals you put in my pants before the game really, really helped. They really did the trick.
Couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you could be just playing along.
Yeah.
How do you tell that?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with that stuff is, like, how do you know how deep someone is? Like, do they know? Like, do they really know?
Do they know that they're... Wait, the wife or Tom Brady? Are we talking
both.
About? Yeah. Like, does Tom Brady know that she really believes in hoodoo? Or does she really believe in hoodoo? The people that believe in hoodoo, I can't tell anymore if they actually believe in it or they just kind of like it, like in an ironic... / interesting kind of way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell anymore. Like, so it's like, oh, yeah, I'm into the, you know, Zodiac or whatever. And I'm like, are you into it or are you just kind of interested in it? You know?
Yeah, or do you kind of, like, just think it's cool? Kind of like a cool rock or, like, a cool book or
those
something?
Those are two very different things. Would you ever, like, go out with someone that was, like, deep into this voodoo-y shit?
I think I would, but they would have to be into it in a way that was, like, kind of cool.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't think I could go out with someone that was seriously into something like astrology.
So, like, if they thought it was really real. Like,
they thought it was really, really
real. But if they were just interested in it.
Yeah. Like, someone who might say to me one day, oh, you're acting this way because of how the planets are.
That's a no.
That would really annoy me.
So that's a no from you, right?
Yeah.
Acting this way. Because Jupiter is on the north side of the sky or something.
Yeah. That's a no-no. But
someone who's casually into it, it's okay.
But someone who's casually into it. Maybe someone who could, like, approach a conversation in a fun way who's like, maybe you're acting this way because Jupiter's over there.
Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. And like, then you're like, oh, maybe. And then you can't tell if they're being serious or not. I mean, we still get to the problem of if they're serious or not. But
whatever. Yeah, but if it's like, in a fun way, then that's fine.
Then it's okay. If they're like, you're being mean to me because Jupiter is really big tonight, it's like, oh, God. No, that's not. No,
I don't think that's why.
Who's our sponsor today, Ben Snacks?
Our sponsor today is Best Sauce.
Best Sauce. That's a very good name for a brand.
For the best sauce.
If you want not good sauce, not great sauce, but the best sauce on whatever you put sauce on, choose Best Sauce. Remember when you're feeling kind of woozy?
Go and see a movie.
Okay, again. Good night, everyone.